The only reason you and I have eternal life is because Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, died on the cross as God's chosen, only and ultimate sacrifice for your sins and my sins, so that when you and I come to Him, we come to Him with absolute confidence that our sins are forgiven. Listen, not on the basis I'm going to do better, never sin again, on the basis that the Father sent His Son, and this Son was an adequate atoning sacrifice that took care of my sin, past, present, and future.
Christmas is, of course, the time of year when we pause to think about the birth of Christ. But have you ever wondered whether it really matters if Jesus Christ was virgin-born? Today's In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley program reminds us that the unique manner of Christ's birth is pivotal to His authenticity. Here's Dr. Stanley to explain.
Now, I want us to look at two passages of Scripture. They're not long. And what I want you to answer for yourself as you listen to this message, does it really make any difference whether Jesus Christ was born of a virgin or not? And you come to the conclusion. I'm not going to give you what I think. I'm going to give you the facts of Scripture. So I want you to turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 26. The Scripture says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.'" Now watch this carefully. "Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" Now notice, if you will, in this earlier part here, the Bible says that she is a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. And then the fact that she asked the question here, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" Literally what she said, and in the Greek text it says, "because I know no man." That is, sexually, she never had a relationship to anybody. Now, if you'll just turn back over to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll see how God spoke to Joseph about this. So we just saw Mary's account, and now here is Joseph. And if you will look, if you will, in the 18th verse of this first chapter of Matthew. "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, that is, engaged to Joseph, watch this, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." But before there was any sexual relationship, she was found to be with child. "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly," that is, believing that she had committed adultery. "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" So with that in mind, let's ask the question here. Why is it so important that you and I believe it and understand it? Why is it important? Well, number one, it's essential to believe in His deity. That is, that Jesus Christ was the second person of the Godhead, was God. You say, well, now, what does the Bible say about that? So let's turn over to John, if you will, and let's look at this first chapter of John and the first few verses here. And remember, the reason John wrote his book was not to give the history of Jesus' life and so forth, But the scripture says that the reason he wrote it was, but these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So how does he begin his gospel? He begins his gospel with these words, verse 1 of chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Greek word is logos, that is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. He is the living expression of who God is. He was in the beginning with God. Listen, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So the scripture makes it very clear in John that He was in the very beginning. Likewise, for example, he says in Titus 2:13. Turn over there to Titus for a moment. In this second chapter and the 13th verse, he says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. The apostles understood Jesus Christ to be the incarnate Son of God and that He was God. He is deity. And there's verse after verse after verse in the scripture that indicate that they saw Him as God. And so, does it make a difference? It is essential to our belief in the incarnation, which means, and you might want to turn before we talk about it, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Look, if you will, in chapter 2 of Philippians and verse 5, when Paul explains this here. He says, have this attitude in yourselves. What is that? Which was also in Christ Jesus. And watch the next verse. Who, although He existed in the form of God, that's who He was, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. Watch this next verse. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, if God said that every knee will bow to Jesus Christ and He's not God, that's idolatry. The Father would never be promoting idolatry. He says every knee will bow. And what He's saying in this passage is simply this, that the way Jesus came into this world, the Father sent Him, prophesied all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Remember, the skins, not fig leaves as they chose. There was the first sacrifice, indication of foreshadowing. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament were pictures, were foreshadowing, that's what the Bible says, foreshadowing of things that were to come. And so when Jesus came, He came for two purposes. Primarily, He came as a living, acceptable, atoning, vicarious sacrifice for the sin of mankind. But He also came to reveal to us who God is and what He's like. Jesus came to reveal to us what the Father's like. And so we have a whole new perspective. And so what happened? God loved us enough to take upon Himself human flesh, come into this world, grow up like a little Hebrew boy in the household of Joseph and Mary, though Joseph was not his father. And then at the age of about 30, he started the ministry to which God had called him. Now, if you look to see what happened and how he went about and what happened in 3 years, because he was God, he never ceased to be God. And so looking at his life and looking to see how he responded to situations and circumstances, one of the most, to me personally, one of the most encouraging passages in the Bible has to do with this. And if you'll turn to Hebrews for a moment and look, if you will, in the 4th chapter. And the only reason this is here is because this is who Jesus is. And this is how we understand who He is. 4th chapter and verse 14. Now, therefore, since we have a great high priest, who is that? Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Believe it with all of our heart. Stand by it. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things and tried in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, what? On the basis of who he is, on the basis that Jesus walked among us as a man, tempted, tried, tested, you name it. And what happens? Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How can there be a better passage of Scripture to encourage us? How do we know that? It says, because when we come to him, we know that he knows how we feel. When you're tempted, he was tempted. When you tried, he's been tried. When you've been criticized, so as you name it, he experienced it. And he came for the purpose of demonstrating God's attitude and his perspective on these things. And so also to encourage us. You can't get so low in life that the Son of God can't lift you up. And he says that's what the throne of grace is all about. And the reason we're convinced and persuaded of that is because Jesus, our Savior, he's been there. You want to talk to somebody who's been where you are. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, listen, he has been where you are. He knows exactly what you're feeling. He's the only one who is deity, has walked upon this earth, and is sitting at the Father's right hand to make intercession for us. Says, look, this is the throne of grace. Come, all of you, to the throne of grace, and you'll find help and strength and whatever you need before Almighty God. So, somebody says, well, does it make a difference? Yes, it does. Likewise, when it comes to sinlessness, he was the only person who could die as a sacrifice. Now, watch this. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, all those sacrifices had to be perfect. And so when someone brought a lamb or something for the sacrifice, they'd lift up his leg and be sure there was no spot, no blemish. What was all that about? Why didn't they just put this animal on there and just burn him up? Because God was in the process of teaching them something. That the only, watch this, the only sacrifice that is acceptable in the eyes of God is a spotless, unblemished one. Because, what was he saying? When the final sacrifice is given, it'll be my son who is absolutely sinless. And remember this, when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, it was all over. Sacrifices were finished because the final sacrifice had been made and accepted in the eyes of God. The only reason you and I have eternal life is because Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, came into this world clothed in human flesh, lived among men to reveal to us the Father, died on the cross as God's chosen, only and ultimate sacrifice for your sins and my sins, so that when you and I can come to him, we have access to him. We don't have to go through anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to him and with absolute confidence that our sins are forgiven. Listen, not on the basis I'm going to do better and never sin again, on the basis that the Father sent his Son, and this Son was an adequate atoning sacrifice that took care of my sin, past, present, and future. That's who he is. So he had to be sinless. He could not have died for our sins that he was not sinless. Likewise, he came, listen, in order to fulfill his mission, he had to be virgin born. What was his mission? The salvation of mankind. He gives us a great commission to spread the truth of the gospel. You remember when John was baptizing down by the river? And one day he said, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the way he introduced Jesus to his society. The Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And he could not be the Lamb of God had he not been spotless. He could not have taken away our sin had he had sin. Because listen, one person who has sin cannot die for another person who has sin. Both of them are guilty. There is none good, the Bible says, within ourselves. None good. No, not one. Only Jesus Christ could be considered totally good. The final sacrifice. And why did he come? He came to die for your sins and mine, so that you and I could be saved from our sins. We could be forgiven forever. When somebody says, it doesn't make any difference whether Jesus Christ was born of a virgin or not, it makes an eternal difference. Somebody says, boy, wait a minute now. You mean to tell me that if I don't believe in the virgin birth, that I'm not going to heaven? I want you to listen to my answer very carefully. When I was 12 years of age, I fell at the altar of a church and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and to save me. At 12 years of age, I didn't even know anything about virgin birth. I knew that I was a sinner and that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and I was accepting Him as my personal Savior. I knew nothing about a virgin birth. Did Jesus save me at the age of 12? Yes. Listen carefully. It's one thing not to believe it because you're totally ignorant of it. It's something else to hear it and reject it. So let me ask you a question. How can any person accept Jesus Christ for who He is, the eternal virgin-born Son of God? How can any person accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God and reject His virgin birth? You're rejecting the very essence of how He died and why He died for your sins. And the reason I'm spending all of this time to explain it is because it is very important that we believe it. And what I want you to see is not only why you should believe it, why you must believe it. It is God's perfect sacrifice for the sin of mankind who could not have been a normal birth and have the sin nature transferred to Him. So when somebody says to you, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in that virgin birth business. We'll say, well, what do you believe? In other words, if you don't believe He's virgin born, I believe He is born just like everybody else. Okay. Then why did He die on a cross? Well, He died for our sins. Well, what made it possible? Why couldn't most anybody have died for your sins? Well, I don't know. I'll tell you why. Because there's only one person who's ever lived a sinless life, and He lived a sinless life because He came into this world, not born like anyone else, but in a sinless condition, a birth by which the Holy Spirit conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, apart from any man, the very God who is our Savior and our Lord. Does it make a difference? It makes all the difference. And it's my prayer that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do it immediately. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Why did He say it? Because there's only one Savior, one man who's lived a perfect life, who was counted worthy to die on the cross for our sins. And so I would encourage you, my friend, whoever you are and wherever you are, to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, based on who He is, He's the Son of God, seated at the Father's right hand to hear your prayer of forgiveness and surrendering your life to Him. And that's my prayer for you. Change your life. Change your whole eternity. Father, how grateful we are for your love for us. Thank you for doing what you've done the way you've done it. We certainly cannot improve on it. And it's the most dramatic, beautiful way you've brought about our salvation. All the way back from the garden to this present moment, you provided for us. And we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for Jesus Christ, your blessed Son, in whose name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. Dr. Stanley made it clear that in order for the Son of God to be the perfect sacrifice, He had to begin His life as the Son of Man without the inheritance of sin. That's why His miraculous virgin birth is critically important. We all have questions, and if yours are about how to live the Christian life, then visit us at intouch.org. You'll connect with helpful information and resources that will challenge and strengthen your faith. And log on to our online bookstore to order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, Virgin Born, Does It Matter? Again, that's intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. If you prefer to write, our address is In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. What do all those Old Testament sacrifices have to do with Christ's birth, life, and death? Dr. Stanley explains, coming up in today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
Obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Fight all your battles on your knees, and you'll win every time.
Dr. Charles Stanley's Life Principles Bible, now available in the New American Standard Version. Gain valuable insight into the principles that have shaped more than 50 years in ministry, answers to life's questions, life examples, and life lessons. Order your New American Standard Life Principles Bible today. Call our toll-free number, 1-800-INTOUCH, or go to intouch.org.
This Christmas, spend time with Dr. Charles Stanley and experience the true meaning of the season. Christmas with Dr. Stanley is a timeless collection of four heartwarming messages from America's pastor. Order your CD set of Christmas with Dr. Stanley or get one for a friend. It makes a perfect Christmas gift. Visit our online bookstore at intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH.
Jesus Christ was the exclusively acceptable and final sacrifice for sin. Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
In the Old Testament, what about all those sacrifices? Those sacrifices were the means by which God was teaching those Hebrews who He was, teaching His holiness, their sinfulness, the repercussions from sin, the judgment, and yet how to live. So how did He do that? They didn't have scrolls in those days like they had later and so forth. So He had to teach them in a visible form they'd never forget. And so that visible form was through sacrifices. And so Jesus came into this world as a fulfillment. Listen, of all those sacrifices, that is, they were foreshadowings. They were pictures of what He intended to do. He came into the world for the purpose of dying on the cross for our sins. No one else could do that. And the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, what was all that about? It was all about God's affirmation and His confirmation, His declaration that I have accepted the death of my Son as the final, full, acceptable atonement for the sin of all mankind. Planned from the beginning of the world, executed all the way through time and eternity, till the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, made it possible for us to be saved. It makes a difference. You see, if that's not true, if I deny that, which is clearly given in the Scriptures, how am I willing to base my eternal life? How am I to base any confidence I'm going to have at facing death, knowing that I'm going to die? If that's not true, what assurance do I have? There was only one sacrifice, the virgin-born Son of God, who came into this world, taking upon Himself human flesh at the moment the Holy Spirit conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. In that moment, He didn't become God. He was already God. In that moment, He took upon Himself human flesh to walk among us, to reveal the Father, and to ultimately die on the cross to make it possible for all of us to be saved. What I want you to see is this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. And there is no other explanation for God's acceptance of anyone apart from Jesus Christ.
Learn more about how Jesus provides you with the forgiveness and acceptance of God. Visit us at intouch.org. Is there something from today's message that you want to hear again? If so, go to our website and click the radio section. And when you search for podcasts, you can download programs and devotionals and take In Touch with you. Find us online at intouch.org. Next week, Dr. Stanley continues to prepare us for Christmas as he explains Christ's role as the Prince of Peace. I hope you'll join us Monday for In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through your faithful prayers and gifts.